I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to series two of the Deliciously Stellar podcast, Deliciously Stellar on the Job. Today, I am talking to the lovely Georgina Hayden. Now, Georgie is a food writer, stylist and illustrator who now works with Jamie Oliver. Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start from the very beginning. Where does your passion for food come from?
Well, it comes from my family, and they had a restaurant for almost 30 years. So one side of my family had a restaurant, the other side had a deli, and essentially everyone lives and breathes for food in my family. So I sort of had no hope, really, did I? No chance of doing anything else. And I was born upstairs above the restaurant, not actually born upstairs, but in a hospital down the road. And then I lived above the restaurant, just to clarify. But yeah, we spent all our lives sort of in the kitchen and cooking, and that's what we did, really.
What kind of restaurant was it?
It was Greek, so my family are Greek Cypriot, so it was a big taverna, proper authentic. So my grandparents moved over to London in the sort of 50s, and it was in Tufnell Park, and it was just a proper Greek taverna, you know, open kitchen, grandparents shouting at each other, you got the full experience. It was no frills. I mean, it was brilliant. Paper tablecloths, always rammed. And just lots of meats, lots of like homemade dips, and my granny did everything. They were brilliant.
I love dips.
Oh my god, I should have brought you something. I did bring you something, but I didn't bring you dip. Oh,
what?
No.
Did you not think ahead? This girl must love dip.
Oh no, we didn't. She makes the best tamar salat in the world, but oh, sorry.
So did you always know? You always knew you wanted to work in the industry in some way, I guess.
Do you know what? I didn't. I was very academic, but not the sharpest tool in the shed, because I think food was so ingrained in me that I didn't realize it was what I wanted to do, because it was just so much part of my life. I was like, well, everyone loves it that much, right? That's just normal. And every teacher, and you know, they were like, you're very creative, do art. So I actually studied fine art, and I'm technically a painter, but then essentially sort of during my degree I was like, whoa, not everyone's reading Delicious magazine and good food, maybe that's not normal. And that's when I questioned it, when I was studying. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should pursue the food thing. You know, I had a farmer's market stall, still didn't click that maybe I wanted to do food. It was just another way to earn money, because I liked making cakes, basically.
So did you train professionally as a chef?
No, I didn't. I did a few courses, and yeah, I basically went straight into publishing, so sort of food magazines, Delicious, Sainsbury's, etc. And I became their in-house assistant and just learnt on the job. And then I've been with Jamie Oliver for 10.5 years, and again sort of started right at the bottom and sort of learnt on the job there. So never went to catering college, but we're a real mix in our sort of team. Like, some have and some haven't. I think enthusiasm's the most important thing.
Yeah, and enthusiasm for food.
Basically, if as long as you like food and want to eat and just live and breathe food, then I think you're all right then.
Yeah, so amazing that you work with Jamie Oliver.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Do you work really closely with him?
Yes, yeah, I do.
So what's like a typical day for you?
Do you know what? There isn't a typical day. Just now, off air, we were chatting about my office, and I sort of was like, yeah, that's kind of where my desk is, and actually I'm a bit homeless, because the day's really varied. One day we can be developing the new book, so you'll sit down and there'll be like an intimate team of us, and we'll be developing and throwing around ideas for his new book and bouncing off each other. Another day, like last week, we had a huge Christmas shoot, so I was decorating a 13-foot Christmas tree, making paper chains and dressing a very bland set to make it his kitchen with all of our kit and our props. Another day I'll be, you know, cooking for a shoot, plucking turkeys. It's quite varied.
So what's the best bit? Is it the writing, styling?
Oh, I can't pick. I think I'm by nature quite... fickle's probably the wrong word, but maybe quite accurate. I'm quite energetic and I get bored easily. So I can't pick one thing. And I think that's why I love the job, because I'm constantly doing something differently. So like one day I'll be writing and I'll just completely love that. And then the next day I'll be cooking and developing and I'll completely love that. And then I'll be styling and that'll be my favourite thing. But I think if I had to just do one, I'll get bored.
So I'm fascinated by food styling.
Yes.
Like, what do you actually like paint stuff with varnish? Like, can you eat it all at the end?
Okay. Yes, people do that. We don't, because so for Jamie, very much, you know, he wants people to go away and be able to cook what he cooks. So the food we cook with him always has to be edible, because also he wants to, you know, if we turn to him and say, oh, Jamie, you can't eat that because we've put varnish on it, he'll just be like, what the hell? Why have you put varnish on it? That's not real. So with Jamie's stuff, it's always completely edible and it's never been messed with. But in the bigger food styling world, abso-bloody-lutely, there is also, like, olden day stuff was stuff like mashed potato as ice cream. That doesn't happen anymore. But yeah, people still paint stuff.
That actually happened.
They used to. I think like in the 80s, before my time. So I've been doing it 11 and a half years now and I've never seen mashed potato. I think that's dead and gone. But yeah, that totally happened.
That's insane.
Get like, you know, Marks and Spencer's old cookbooks. Mm-hmm. If you ever see them in Oxfam or whatever, have a look and you'll start seeing things differently. But even now, yeah, stuff still happens. Like people paint turkeys with, so if you want to paint poultry to like, make it darker and glossy and whatever, you can't really paint the skin because it's too fatty, so you have to mix Marmite with washing up liquid, and it's the only way to get it to stick onto the skin. Once it's cooked, you can't paint a raw turkey. I mean, that's just mental. But like, if you cook a turkey, you know how like they come out a bit patchy sometimes, they're not always like perfectly bronzed. Yeah, you've got to fake it.
Fake it till you make it.
Fake it. There's Marmite, there's foil washing up liquid, there's, you know, my toolkit looks a bit like a doctor's kit. There's scalpels, skin graft blades, syringes. You buy it all from pharmacies. And actually once, I went on holiday basically after a shoot. It was on a Friday and I ran straight to the airport. And I stupidly had my kit with me. And I don't know how I got through security because it's all like different tweezers and stuff. And they didn't say anything. And when I got to Hong Kong, they questioned me there. And I was like, well, I'm a doctor. And they were like, oh, okay, great. I was like, oh my God, if anything happens on the plane, I'm absolutely screwed.
My friend got stopped the other day in Dubai airport.
Oh, no.
And they opened up her bag and there was just a giant dildo in there. And she said that she's never been so mortified in her entire life.
Oh my God, what did she say?
She was just like, and she was just like, I can't believe you've stopped me. I'm here with my boyfriend. My boyfriend's in a wheelchair and you've like me open up my suitcase. Like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
She was so embarrassed.
I'd like... You'd be mortified, wouldn't you? I can't even. I don't even... You know, yeah, that definitely beats...
She was like, imagine if I wasn't with him, because she had like loads of his medication that he takes and like...
You would have to say, like, my first thought would be like, I'm on a hen do or something. Like, what would you say? I mean, I don't know.
I went on a hen this weekend.
Oh God, go on.
I'm not a big hen fan.
No.
I'm not a big hen fan. It was actually, as hens go, it was pretty good. It was all right.
What
like
did you
everyone
do?
Was really nice. We went to Lewis Bonfire Night.
Oh nice, yeah, that's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. There were like Donald Trump effigies everywhere.
Brilliant. Set that stuff alight.
A little bit racist though.
Oh God.
There were some people in blackface.
Really?
Yeah, and like loads of Native Americans.
What?
Yeah, it was really...
In Lewis? I'm really surprised. Yeah. I mean, I hear about that stuff like near where my husband's from, which is Lancashire. There's a dance troupe. I'm probably getting this wrong. I should probably stop talking. But I'm surprised about Lewis.
Yeah.
They were quite liberal. Anyway.
I was pretty horrified. Pretty horrified. I also ate some really dodgy food off the side of the road. Just like
he's still paying the price for that.
Yeah, a really offensive sausage. Like, you know when you look at it and you go, you should not be doing
I'm
that.
I'll see you again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. I'll see you later.
Yeah. Sounds like a good hen do.
Yeah, I know. It was.
I'm on one this Saturday.
Are you?
Yeah, I've had 10 weddings this year.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
At the... I'm probably... When I say that to people, they look at me and I can see them all going, aren't you a bit old to be going on that many hen do's? But our group of friends are clearly just still having, I mean, too much of a nice time. We figured out we've still got at least 10 weddings to go. Mm-hmm. But they're all just parting hard still. So yeah, 10 weddings this year.
I've only just started on the hens.
You're young.
Yeah.
You're a spring chicken.
I went to a hen that was pony club themed once.
Oh my God. You're joking?
Nope.
What did you do?
I couldn't find job posts in Sports Direct in Hackney.
Oh God.
So I went as My Little Pony, and then I got there.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you? That was exactly what I thought.
And, yeah, of course. I went as My Little Pony, and then I got there, and everybody else was wearing like their dad's racing outfits.
Oh no!
And everyone was so posh.
Serious pony club?
Yeah, serious pony club. Like, we sat on hay bales, we ate polos.
Did you actually go horse riding?
No, but someone had ordered a Shetland pony to come to the door.
Oh my God, that's too much.
But then the pony's owner broke their arm, so the pony didn't turn up.
Oh no, so you all just sat around.
So then we got a stripper, but then we got a stripper in the end.
That just is completely fine. Imagine if the stripper and the Shetland pony. It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah. Too much. Have a stripper and a pony.
You can't have both.
Have a stripper and a pony at a party.
That's too much in one hand.
Back to food. So apart from Jamie, who's obviously been a massive influence on you, who are your biggest influences food-wise?
Both my grannies. I know that's like dead cheesy and I should probably say someone really cool, but both my grannies are incredible. So I've still got one. The grandparents own the restaurant, are still alive, and they live down the road. And I cook with them. I cook with her. My granddad, he's not allowed in the kitchen, only to wash up. And they're absolutely brilliant. And she cooks all day, every day still. She's only 74 and she's ninja. So I still cook with her. And then my other granny passed away not that long ago. But even up to the day she died, she was, you know, incredible. They were both the most fantastic cooks. So, and to be fair, my mum's incredible. She's sort of lost the will to live a bit in the last few years just because my dad's become so fussy and she just... You know, he only eats fish and she doesn't like fish. And I mean, you can see there's a whole problem there already. But my grandmas are amazing. So they're, yeah.
Your dad only eats fish.
So my dad's a pescatarian.
Yes.
And so basically we owned this meat restaurant for 27 years. And he used to eat so much meat that I must have been about like 9 years old. Someone turned to him and said, I bet you can't go for a month without eating meat. Like, he was like meat three times a day, man. And he was like, I bet I can. And he did it. And he felt so good afterwards. He's never eaten meat since. So that was 25 years ago. So he only eats fish. And my mum can't stand fish. So the only common ground they have are prawns, which is a very salty and expensive diet.
So what's your diet like? Is it just like really varied?
My diet's really varied. I was veggie for a long time, around the same time as my dad, just because I was a bit of a picky kid and I didn't love meat and I just loved animals so much and I didn't learn to drive and I was all a bit, you know, it's like living in Camden and stuff. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to touch animals. And then I went the opposite way and now I eat everything. I've done the opposite to the whole health movement. Clearly everyone else is there cutting back on meat and I'm like, yeah, give me a steak. But I would say my diet's really good. Like, I generally probably have a naturally quite balanced diet. I would say I eat relatively healthy, maybe 70% of the time. Other 30% of the time I don't care. I love cheese. It's my favorite thing in the world. I love carbs. There's nothing I don't eat.
So do you think that food fads affect the world of, like, styling and writing a lot?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be, you have to be really, you know, you have to know what's going on. Just because, you know, I might not have written a book that is based around kale or, you know, but I have to be totally aware. And as a writer, you have to know what the trends are and what's going on and be aware of it. And, you know, the likelihood is someone might give me a brief that wants to be a bit healthy or whatever. So I have to be able to do that and be adaptable. Also, Jamie's been studying nutrition. So we're all quite heavily trained now. And I would say my nutritional knowledge is quite good as a result, which means, you know, I probably naturally eat a bit better, but at the same time means I'm not going to give up bread.
Did clean eating affect anything?
Oh, God. Not in our world. I guess it did in a way, because obviously we're sort of being a bit healthier as a company. And I think the main thing, clean eating bothers me immensely, because quite frankly, I think as long as you're cooking something from scratch, then why is that not good for you? It's better than a ready meal, isn't it? If you're getting raw ingredients and you are putting them together and making yourself a meal, how is that not a good thing? And the likelihood is the people that are eating very sort of, you know, what would be considered dirty foods are there, or takeaways and ready meals, right? They're not going home and making themselves these burgers from scratch. If you make something from scratch, the likelihood is you're naturally going to eat better, I think. So the clean eating thing really annoys me. But having said that, obviously, we do have a bit of a obesity problem in the country. And I think that's a whole different ballgame. I think like sugar and that stuff is different and that is serious. But I think clean eating is a bit ridiculous.
So I came into a meeting at Jamie Oliver once,
yeah,
and there was a fruit bowl, and in the fruit bowl was avocados. Mm. Have you ever eaten an avocado in a meeting?
Yeah, so I just peel it, just have a little gnaw, do you not? I've got one with me. So just sometimes, you know, if you're a bit hungry, you just peel an avocado. No, we have breakfast at work. So we have like something called Breakfast Club. So they provide really lovely sourdough and breads, grain breads and stuff at work. And they encourage people to come a bit earlier and make breakfast. So you'll find people have like avocado and toast for breakfast.
Yeah, because I genuinely thought that some people might go in, peel it and eat it like a pear.
I mean, sure. Do you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they do. I've never seen that though. I'm not going to lie.
No.
I might start a trend. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should be the first person. Just see what happens. Just casually, just be like, sorry guys, hold on. Do you mind if I just...
It shouldn't be me. They'll be like, yeah, Deliciously Stella came in earlier and she peeled an avocado and ate it.
Just ate it. I've seen people, I say people, I refer to a famous Italian chef, eat a ball of mozzarella like it was an apple. Mm. Not an avocado though. He was like, it's delicious, and just starts biting into it. I was like, that's a whole ball of mozzarella. It's at least 250 grams there. Just ate the whole thing like it was a piece of fruit.
Delicious.
I mean, why not?
Delicious. So can you tell me a bit more about your book, Stirring Slowly?
Yes, it's kind of a bit, I guess, what I was just saying just then. It's the idea that that cooking itself should be good for you. So it came at a time when I was going through a bit of a rough time and I spent a lot of time at home. And at that moment in time, a few years ago, there were all these clean eating books. And I just think the pressure of clean eating and this sort of slightly faddy way was, I just thought, it's ridiculous, actually. You know, like, here's me and, you know, I sort of know about food a bit and this is what I'm cooking and this is real. And actually, we've sort of lost perspective on what eating and cooking is about. You know, whether it takes 5 minutes or 5 hours, it should be enjoyable and you shouldn't berate yourself for what you're about to make. You know, whether it's something like an omelette or you want to go and make like a mac and cheese, at the end of the day, eat what you want, but just enjoy the process. And I think a lot of people, when they find out what I do for a living, they're like, oh, I just love cooking. I find it really relaxing making a risotto. That comes up a lot. And then they tell you what they hate as well. But I just thought, hold on, there's something in that. There has to be something in that because, you know, everyone's focusing on cutting things out and that's sort of losing the whole joy of cooking and sharing, I think, and family. So it's about celebrating the act of cooking as opposed to, you know, giving yourself a hard time and counting calories.
Awesome. So the book's on sale now?
It is on sale now. Yes,
where
it is.
Where can you get it?
Good bookshops, online Amazon. Yeah, Waterstones, Oliver Bonas, place like that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Similar to mine.
I was going to say, I've definitely seen yours in the same shelf as mine. I think our books are really similar. I think they're really accessible. And the recipes are just, people say they look at my recipes and your recipes and they're just really inviting. So I think we're in a good place.
I mean, I did do all the food styling myself.
I'm really impressed, can I just say. I think we could definitely discuss tips on there.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute treat. Thank you
so
much. That's all for this week. Don't forget that you can find me on Instagram at deliciouslystella, or you can drop me an email at deliciouslystella@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening. See you next
time. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next time.